Jack O'Donnell, managing partner at O'Donnell & Associates. Jack, welcome to Hardline, and again, thank you for coming on such short notice.
Great to be with you. If I wasn't on, I'd probably be listening, so happy to be here.
Well, thank you so much. Jack, let's start in Albany, the capital of New York, where, again, a budget deadline has come and passed. Jack, what is the holdup with the Democrat majority in Albany?
Well, there's a couple big issues, right? No surprise that we've got a late budget. But the governor is really pushing on a few policy issues. Number one is some changes to how discovery works in criminal cases and what information needs to be shared by prosecutors with defense attorneys and when. She also has a proposal around mentally ill individuals and when they can be held for their own good and sort of when those restrictions kick in. There's also a proposal around criminalizing mask wearing, especially when it's involved with other crimes. And then finally, there is a big issue around the MTA, the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, and how to fund it. The Assembly, the Senate, the governor, none of them funded that in their budgets. And so how to pay for that and who pays for it is kind of the fourth big issue that's kind of outstanding today.
And this is all disagreements within the Democrat Party?
Absolutely. I mean, these are issues that the governor is pushing and that various extent the majority in the Assembly, the majority in the Senate have pushed back upon, especially around criminal justice issues. Governor Hochul really sees herself as a center, pro public safety advocate, where a lot of folks in the legislature see themselves as a little further to the left and are more focused on individual liberties. And, the legislature has been really focused on the last few years and the over-incarceration, especially of Black and brown New Yorkers. And so they're pushing back on some of these issues.
And now, Jack, you look at this, and obviously next year, an election year, and there's a lot of there's going to be challenge to Kathy Hochul. Does that play into this at all?
Well, I think it's hard to see anything in Albany without thinking about election years and without thinking about politics. I do think this is genuinely where Kathy Hochul sees herself on the political spectrum, right? As a Democrat and someone who's in favor of a lot of things, but who always sort of has that focus on kind of criminal justice, public safety. She's also been very, very adamant about not raising taxes. And, I think sort of that kind of Bill Clinton centrist Democrat mold.
It's interesting, Jack. We're talking about all these things, and this it happens every year, but we're talking about all these things in the budget, but really no one's talking about the cost of the budget and what that final number is going to be. That doesn't seem to be in any of these articles I'm reading about where the budget is held up.
Ironic, isn't it? But, the budget process, the way it's set up in New York, and, this has evolved over the last 30 years, is the governors have a lot more power. And so rather than, if they put in a program bill on some of these issues, they're going to lose. And so they address them in the budget because that gives them some say. There are some differences in fiscal policy. I mean, the governor proposed a budget around $250 billion, and then both houses of the legislature came in a little higher than that. But I think they're broadly close on most of those numbers. But the governor has the upper hand, and she has insisted, we're going to resolve my policy issues first, and then we'll talk dollars and cents.
When I was looking up stuff for the budget, Jack, I came across an article out of Albany from CBS 6 News that Hochul had to defend her visit to Buffalo for the capping off ceremony on Friday because the budget remains overdue. And here she is in Buffalo, you know, again, looking forward to that 2026, which I'm sure every time we talk, I'm going to bring this up. Looking forward to 2026. Does the Buffalo Stadium work against her in parts of the state?
Absolutely. You know, there was a lot of pushback to the state contribution to that stadium. There is a sentiment in New York City that why the heck are we paying for anything in Buffalo? I think, but certainly why are we paying for a stadium and why are we paying for a stadium for some very wealthy owners and wealthy players, but. The governor has been very clear that this was a priority for her. She pushed the money through the budget, and so I think she wanted to be here. Now, that said, it's not as if the leaders are in the room 24 hours a day hashing things out, right? She did get back to Albany on Friday. I know there was a leaders meeting Friday afternoon. And then, you know, they talk about stuff and then staff puts pen to paper and then they meet again. But it's always going to be out there. Similar criticism of the rank and file legislators all went home for the weekend because they're not a part of negotiations right now.
Another thing that's hot in Albany and kind of has been since it was implemented is this congestion pricing in New York and, the MTA funding. You've got the initiative from the federal government saying you got to end congestion pricing, but Kathy Hochul's sticking by it, and I'm guessing Democrats are sticking by congestion pricing as well?
Broadly, they are. I do think the majority of the Democrats in the legislature support congestion pricing, want to see that money go into the MTA. And just to be clear, some of that money comes to upstate New York. There are train manufacturers, bus manufacturers that make things for the MTA. But there's a sizable group of Democrats in the state legislature, especially from, Westchester, Rockland, some of the suburban counties, who have been loud voices against congestion pricing, too. Folks in Queens as well, who have been really loud in their, and how much they hate congestion pricing. But the governor has made a decision along with the MTA. Trump administration said you're canceled, and they said we're going to sue you, and they were in court that day. So, you know, I think still some of that to be resolved. And what's hard is that the MTA capital plan, which is a 5-year plan, there's $36 billion of that is unaccounted for. That's counting on the money from congestion pricing. If congestion pricing goes away, that's supposed to be about $15 billion over 5 years. So that MTA number would go up to $41 billion. So, man, that's a lot of money.
Here in Buffalo, we've been talking about the mayoral race and the fiscal deficit that the city of Buffalo faces. And, a lot of the talk comes back to the American Rescue money running out. We hear that at the state level. I'm sorry. We hear at the city level. We hear that at the county level. Is that an issue in counties and municipalities throughout New York State, Jack?
I think it is broadly. I think a lot of these places have used those monies, as one shots and to get through the hard times rather than making some of the hard decisions, that are required. It also looks like people's pension contributions are going to go up with what's happening in Wall Street and what that means. So, municipalities are across the state, certainly cash strapped and budget challenged.
Looking at that mayoral race here in the city of Buffalo, obviously all eyes on the Democratic primary coming up this summer. And the Erie County Democrats did their forum, their forums, and Sean Ryan got the nod. And now rumors coming out that, Jeremy Zellner is kind of eyeing Sean Ryan's seat. Is that something that's been well known, and what would that process look like? Is that the thing that you would run a special election, or would he be appointed by the governor?
Yeah, I think that's been an open secret within Democratic circles that Jeremy Zellner is looking at that. He, you know, really wanted, was a candidate to be for the assembly seat when Robin Chimminger resigned and, you know, was making moves towards that. So I think a lot of Democrats know that. And if Sean Ryan wins, there would be a special election. Special elections, as you know, the parties get to pick their candidates. So it's not about petitioning. And so Zellner and the Erie County Democratic Committee, Executive Committee, would choose a candidate. So, you know, it's definitely a very closed insider process.
Looking at that that run for mayor here in Buffalo, is there a clear front runner? Does Sean Ryan have the edge right now? Where does that stand heading into the primary?
Well, absolutely. I think you kind of sort of have to look at two favorites here. Certainly Sean Ryan. You know, his Senate district contains the biggest part of the city. He's been elected by the most Democrats, by the most general election folks. You know, he's raised money. He has a lot of endorsements. You mentioned the Democratic Party. A lot of union endorsements have come out for Sean Ryan. But at the same time, Chris Scanlon is the mayor. And it's hard to not have him, you know, say that makes you a front runner. And I think you saw some of that when they turned in petitions this week. Scanlon turned in more than twice as many petitions as anyone else. And I think that shows some of the power of incumbency. I suspect if you look closely, there'll be a lot of City Hall employees who circulated for their boss.
Well, that is going to be a heck of a primary. And, you know, looking at Buffalo, and obviously we don't want to say anything's decided, but looking at Buffalo, that primary, the winner of that primary probably has a really good upper hand going into the general election.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, depending on who wins and what that looks like, obviously the winner would be the overwhelming favorite. Now, if that person is further to the left, if there's different things, all kinds of machinations can happen. We obviously saw that 4 years ago, but it was a really unique sense of circumstances that allowed Byron Brown to kind of come back and beat India Walton in that general election. So I think whoever wins this Democratic primary is the overwhelming favorite to win in November.
Jack, one final question, and this is just something that we've been observing here at WBEN. So County Executive Mark Pulunkar, he a few weeks ago did a town hall in Springville, which is also in the NY23 congressional district held by Congressman Nick Langworthy. Yesterday, he was in Claudia Tenney's district, NY24, actually called Claudia Tenney out in a tweet. Is the county executive eyeing one of these two districts to make a possible run for Congress?
Goodness, I don't know. I'm not quite sure why he's doing what he's doing. Certainly, we're speculating. I mean, he has been a candidate for Congress in the past. You know, he expressed interest in the seat that is now held by Tim Kennedy, that Tim Kennedy won in a special election. And so maybe, but I will tell you, because of the redistricting process in New York, Claudia Tenney and Nick Langworthy would be overwhelming favorites in either of those races.
I was going to say, I mean, obviously, I think everyone knows that the NY26, right? He wanted Higgins' seat, but then Higgins stepped down right after he won re-election, went to Tim Kennedy. I don't think Tim Kennedy's going anywhere anytime soon. So interesting. It would be more than an uphill battle in either of those districts, right? Those are probably the two. Are those the two reddest districts in New York?
You know, at least Stefanik's would be up there too, but they're among the most red, most conservative, any Democrat. And look, Mark Pulunkar brings some name recognition, an ability to raise some money. But you know, his past stances, and that name recognition can be a double-edged sword when you're trying to present yourself in a different place. So absolutely, it'd be a very uphill battle.
All right, Jack, I said that was my last question, but this is my last question. Obviously, a lot of attention on the tariffs, right? We've seen the markets now for 2 days end in negative territory. Democrats are obviously trying to gain on this, especially since next year are the midterms elections. From what you're seeing, are Democrats handling this correctly? What would you like to see out of especially members in Congress or people who might be running for red seats in Congress come next year? What would your advice to them be?
Well, I you know, it's the old axiom that when your opponent is making a mistake, you stay out of their way, I think, you know, in terms of these specific tariffs and the havoc they're wreaking on the market, on people's retirements. And we haven't even begun to see the real impact on prices. I mean, look, I think Trump won in large part because Americans were fed up with the way Joe Biden and Democrats had been stewards of the economy. And you know, we're seeing, we saw a Wall Street Journal poll on Friday that had already shifted 20 points away from Trump even before this impact of the tariffs. So, you know, I think the number one thing for Democrats is to make sure people know who's making these decisions and why and what those impacts are. And then I think at some point, what I'm still waiting for Democrats to do in Congress and elsewhere is to have a proactive platform of what they're going to do. And it can't just be, well, we're not going to do what Trump's doing. You know, what are you doing to help middle America? What are you doing to help us put food on our table and get our kids educated and make sure they have jobs?
Jack O'Donnell, always great catching up with you. And again, thank you for appearing on the show on such short notice. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.